Muslim king is appointed, given the most important position to a Hindu. Why? Because of his brilliance. And not only that, when Sanatana Goswami wanted to retire, he refused to let him resign. And he actually mentioned to him, he told Sanatana Goswami, that look, your brother is a plunderer. Your brother is a robber. Dacoit. And you are actually maintaining, taking care of the kingdom. Now, if you go, what's going to happen? Because your brother is useless. His brother means he's talking about himself. He's a plunderer. He just goes and fights with other kings and tries to take over the kingdom. And he admitted that Sanatana Goswami was actually maintaining the kingdom. And if he left, so this is how deep relationship he had with him. And he was not an easy person. Hussein Shah was such a tyrant. Like, just to give an example, after his victory over a certain place, he came and he wanted to build a victory tower. That tower is still there. It's a very high tower, victory tower. And the engineer who structured it, when after its completion, when Hussein Shah was inspecting the thing, they went on top and they detected one slight defect in the structure or in the architectural design. And Hussein Shah got so upset that he picked up that architect and threw him from the top of the tower. Killed him right there. So this is the kind of personality he was. But he's dealing with Sanatana Goswami. So we can well imagine what kind of deep relationship he had with him, that he treated him like that. But still Sanatana Goswami wanted to resign. And when Sanatana Goswami would not, was adamant and wouldn't succumb, then he said, okay, arrest him, put him in prison. And when they come back, he was about to go to Odisha to fight with King Indradumna. I'm sorry, King Pratapudra. And so this is how. And then Sanatana Goswami, as you all know, he bribed the jail keeper and escaped. And then he went to Vrindavan. So, obviously a brilliant person. And he and his brother and his nephew, these are the three out of six Goswamis of principal Goswamis of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually instructed Sanatana Goswami to write this book on Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava etiquette. So I collected some important points that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami to write this book on Vaishnava etiquette, which is actually Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's a voluminous literature, more than 1,000 pages. And it's called Vaishnava Smriti Hari Bhakti Vilas. I gave the first Vaishnava etiquette course in 1987 in Vrindavan for 1 month. So, and it was Actually, we just started the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education. And the first few years, Yatamal Krishna Maharaj, Dharmadhar Maharaj, Bhurijan Prabhu, myself, few of us were giving different courses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami to write Vaishnava Smriti Hari Bhakti Vilas. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these instructions have been recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. Folding his hands, Sanatana Goswami said, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of Vaishnavas. I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities?" And you can see what a humble disposition, how humble. So he is considering to go on. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him. He considered himself to be unqualified to write that. This is also, it's important to note that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sanatana Goswami first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, Benares, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time, you see, Sanatana Goswami escaped from the prison. Therefore, he couldn't travel properly. He had to take the forest path to travel. And so, by the time he came there, his condition was quite disheveled. Must have had long hair, and his dress was also not very refined. So, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying in the house of Tapanisha. So, he asked Tapan Mishra to go and see if there is a Vaishnava outside. So Tapan Mishra went and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I couldn't find any Vaishnava outside." He said, "Was there anybody there?" He said, "Yes, there was a Muslim mendicant, Muslim fakir." So Mahaprabhu said, "Okay, bring him here." And when Sanatana Goswami was brought in, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. And Sanatana Goswami felt very embarrassed, like his condition was so unkempt, apparently dirty. He said, "Please don't touch me, please don't touch me." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, "I am touching you just to purify myself. With your spiritual potency, you can purify the entire universe. Tomas Porshi Atma Pavitrita Bhakti Vale Parutuni Brahmanda Shodhita. I'm touching you in order to purify myself. Bhakti Vale, with the potency of your devotion, you can purify the entire universe. Brahmanda Shodhita." So, in this way, Sanatana Goswami's humble disposition has been displayed all the time. Here also we are saying, when he was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his response was, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of Vaishnavas. As a most low-born person, I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activity?" Thank you. Sanatana Goswami then requested the Lord, "Please personally tell me how I can write this difficult book our Vaishnava behavior. Please manifest yourself in my heart. If you please manifest yourself within my heart and personally direct me in writing this book, then although I am low born, I may hope to be able to write it. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead yourself. And whatever you direct is perfect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whatever you want to do, you will be able to do correctly by Lord Krishna's favor. He will manifest the real purport because you asked me for a synopsis. Please hear these few indications. In the beginning, so this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave the structure of Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the foundation of Vaishnava etiquette. In the beginning, one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. In your book, there should be the characteristics of a bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of the spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, should be described as the worshipable object, and you should consider the Vija Mantra of the worship of Krishna. So, the first thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, what is the first consideration to become a Vaishnava? One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. Because then only one gets to understand the purpose of performing these activities. Of course, here we have to understand that then he is pointing out the qualification of a guru and qualification of a disciple. Not that anybody could be accepted as guru, no. The guru must be qualified. And the disciple also has to have the prerequisites. So then, I just actually collected some important points as a leader. Then now he describes about mantra and other things, and then he's saying, after this, you should describe how one should become his body, how one should decorate his body with gopi chandan, wear neck beads, collect tulasi leaves from the tulasi tree, cleanse his cloth and the altar, cleanse one's own house or apartment and go to the temple and ring the bell just to draw the attention of Krishna. So, to be a Vaishnava means we have to dress accordingly. We have to decorate ourselves accordingly. And those decorations are tilak, kantimala. And in that Prabhupada also pointed out shaved head, sikha, and how the sikha should be. Sikha shouldn't be just whimsically either half the head long sikha or like quarter inch practically invisible sikha. No, Prabhupada said it should be 1.5 inch in diameter. And it should be long. And it should be tied up. The sikha must be tied. And, of course, nowadays, for various reasons, we are not really so strict about following that. Because many of our devotees are in household situation. They have to deal with our savior. But those who are serious devotees, living in temple, full-time devotees, they should follow the standard. Right? And it has become quite easy for us actually. Because nowadays everybody, it has become a fashion to shake hands. During those days, I mean, it was a shocking sight to see somebody with shaved head and see her. And nowadays shaved head become quite a common thing. It has become a fashion, like important people, you know, they're dressed up in three-piece suit and shaved head. And the Sikha is important also. Not just shaved head. Sikha is very important. Like, no Sikha means a Mayavadi. If you're a spiritualist, no Sikha, that means Mayavadi. Vaishnava means Sikha. So, then he is requested, asking Sanatana Goswami that that in that book you must describe the standard of deity worship, wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily. The pujaris, you know, I'm saying, seeing that they're taking notes very carefully. Krishna should be offered at least 5 times daily. One should, in due time, place Krishna on a bed. One should also describe the process for offering arati and the worship of the Lord according to the list of 5, 16 or 50 ingredients. And then, I'm skipping some and coming to an important point. One should glorify the holy name and carefully give up offenses when chanting the holy name. One should know the symptoms of a Vaishnava. One must give up or nullify the kinds of seva apradha offenses in deity worship. Then, this is actually from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very emphatic about that in his purport. A Vaishnava is not supposed to take anything that has not been offered to Krishna. So, we should be very careful not to drink anything that is not Krishna. And I'm so very happy to see that that standard is being so strictly followed by some devotees. Yesterday, I was talking to Anandini, the mother of Gaurangi, who is studying in Baton Rouge with her friend Vishnupriya. They're living together in an apartment. And her mother was telling that they always cook themselves. They have their deities. Gaurangi was telling, you have Gaurangi? Okay, and another friend had Bhargopar, and another had Jagannath Paradesh. So the three of them, they cook. And I was very happy to hear that Anandini was telling Gaurangi's mother that they don't eat anything outside. And I know it can be quite difficult. You're living in a campus and not out there. Thank you very much for maintaining the standard so nicely. One should know the symptoms of a devotee and how to associate with them. One should know how to satisfy the devotee by rendering services, and one should know how to give up the association of non-devotees. One should also regularly hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should describe the ritualistic duties of every day and you should describe the fortnightly duty, specially observing Ekadasi fast, which comes every fortnight. Observe Ekadasi very strictly, very nicely. In ISKCON, Prabhupada actually gave us many, liberties. Prabhupada didn't want us to become very strict. We can understand that Prabhupada was preaching in the West, and Prabhupada naturally was quite lenient because he was happy that the Western devotees were joining the movement and accepting the process of Krishna consciousness. And so although Hari Bhakti Vilas gives a very strict standard of observing Ekadasi, but Prabhupada was not really that particular, but at least Prabhupada said that on Ekadasi one should not take grains and beans. You know what is the standard of observing Ekadasi? Real standard? Fasting. Fasting means fasting. And the real way of doing it is no water. In Nectar of Devotion Progress, the one who does this, one should take even a drop of vodka. And then not only fasting, but stay up the whole night. Stay up the whole night and chant the holy name of the Lord. And try to chant. At one time, Thomas Krishnamani, when we were in Vrindavan, in BIHE, sitting up, that time Thomas Krishnamani got inspired and he got us all fired up also observing Ekadasi. And actually, the standard is fasting from water, nijala Ekadasi, chanting 64 rounds, staying up all night doing kirtan. And many of us were clearly fired up. We were observing that wherever we went. Then he's saying that, they're asking Sanatana Goswami, you should give general and specific descriptions of the behavior and activities of a Vaishnava. You should outline things that are to be done and things that are not to be done. All these should be described as regulation and etiquette. So a Vaishnava has been in this way, then finally he's saying that thus one can understand that Vaishnava etiquette purifies the heart and the consciousness. So to be a Vaishnava means to become purified. To be a Vaishnava means not only to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to become free from material identification and become completely situated in one's spiritual identity. A Vaishnava means a pure spirit soul. Then, few points that I actually marked in order to get that course, as I mentioned. A few things that I collected from this Hari Bhakti Vilas and Prabhupada's teachings. Point one, offer respect and obeisances to the Guru, to the Lord and His devotees, and to other superiors. So towards the superiors, one must be respectful. That is the dealings, the etiquette among the devotees. The junior must offer respect to the seniors. And seniors must shower their affection to the juniors. It is not one-way traffic. It's reciprocal. We can't say only the juniors will respect and we don't have any responsibility towards the juniors.
Mm.
No. The seniors' affection should flow to the juniors. Respect should rise from the junior to the senior, and affection should be showered upon the juniors. And among the equals, there should be friendship. So this is the basic structure of etiquette among the Vaishnavas. Get up before 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. and attend Mangala Arati. After waking up, first brush your teeth and take your bath. Take bath after passing stool. Wash with water after passing urine and wash hands and feet. In the West, may not be possible to wash feet, but at least the hand should be washed. And after passing stool, one must take bath. Wash hands and feet and mouth before and after taking prasad. This is one thing I notice is not observed so carefully. And especially in the West, I think the culture is to use knife and fork and spoon. So apparently hand doesn't get dirty. So the tendency to wash is not there. But the idea is, when you take food, you do get dirty, even if you're using fork and knife or chopsticks. The Vedic idea is to wash hands. That's the best way to take your food. Because the hand can serve all the purpose. And not only that, the process of digestion actually begins with the hand. When you're mixing the food, you are actually... Digestion actually is a process of accepting and transforming the food to your body cells. So make the food into your body. Make the food become you. And that becoming you begins by touching the food, mixing the food, and putting the food on your mouth. In your mouth, you become. And I tell you, in order to do that, you don't really need such versatile fingers. It's quite easy to do that. Wash hands, feet and mouth before and after taking prasad. Wash hands after drinking water. One way you can avoid it, I'll show you how you can avoid it. If you drink this way, then you don't have to wash your hands. But if you sip with your lips, then yes, you have to wash your hands. Use the right hand for eating and drinking. Even if you're a lefty, use your right hand for eating. Always wear clean clothes. Never steal anything. And what's the definition of stealing? The definition of stealing is? Who knows the definition of stealing?
Taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Very good, very good. Actually, in our childhood, we learned the definition of stealing as taking anything without informing the proprietor is stealing. So that's what you said. That taking something that doesn't belong to you is stealing. Without your part, without the owner's permission. But if you take it without the owner's permission, with the owner's permission, then it's fine. Never use unpleasant words. Even if you have to chastise somebody, do it with a smile. Sometimes people ask me, Maharaj, I can't control my anger. So how can I control it? So I tell them that when you get angry, whatever you are saying, say it with a smile in your face. Never tell a lie, even if it is pleasant. Sometimes we think that telling a pleasant lie is okay. They're saying that no, shouldn't be. Now, this is, again, I'm going back to Hari Bhakti Vilas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Although one may have acquired the knowledge of all of the Vedas, but if one is not practicing the proper etiquette, or if he did not become a Vaishnava, then all of this knowledge which he has acquired will be lost at the time of death. So, the best way to secure our possessions is by becoming a Vaishnava. Proper etiquette increases fame, opulence, longevity, and destroys all inauspiciousness. Also, he's saying that do not chastise anyone except sons, juniors and disciples. And that also to educate them. There are some points, these are the important ones. Like, do not hit anyone on the head or pull anyone by the hair. So if someone insults you, don't get into an argument with them, but leave the place silently. I tell you that goes a long way. Never praise yourself in front of others. So these are the basic standard, and we will discuss more of like what Prabhupada had to say. So now I will ask if anybody has any question or comment. Yes?
Sometimes can we steal prasadam? Can we steal prasadam sometimes? You know,
with the permission from Krishna.
And also I heard...
And Krishna will never say no.
Okay. Because Prabhupada said those who give and those who receive prasadam. But I also heard from some of the educated gurukulis from India once that if there was no water, you can put your hand over your ear and chant Hare Krishna. And that would be, you know, a simple way of cleansing your hand. If you have no water anywhere, you can chant Hare Krishna with your hand over your ear.
Well, it makes sense, you know, although I haven't read it in Harivakti Vilas. Makes sense in the sense, Om Apavitra Pavitrava Sarvavastham Dhatoviva Jasmare Pundarikakhyam Sa Vaisha Antara. Whether one is pure or impure, either internally or externally, in whichever condition one may be in, if he remembers Krishna, Lotus Eye, Supreme Lord, then he becomes purified, both externally and internally. So yes, best way to purify is chanting the holy name. But before you take the shortcut, there is.
I just want to say one more thing. That actually, in the West, I remember growing up, like this is in America here in the 50s, mothers would say, wash your hands and pay.
Yeah, right.
That was always that. Right. And then clean up afterwards. You always had. Right. You know, that was a standard anyway.
True, yeah.
Not the teacher.
Yeah.
First temple I went to, they wanted to wash my feet. This was in Boston, like 1969, Mother Jadarani wanted to wash my feet, and I became exalted. What's wrong with my feet? And then she said, "Can I put the sacred? Then I want to put sacred mud on your forehead."
Yeah, that's true. So, any other questions? Yes?
Maharaj, before I could ask a question, I want to read some Prabhupada, one small quote.
Okay.
Prabhupada says, Satyam, truthfulness means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented according to social conventions. It is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. That is the definition of truth. Bhagavad Gita 10.4.
Right.
So my question is, Maharaj, how we can
what?
Practice this? Because sometimes people say it is criticism or blaspheming or...
Well, use your intelligence. Like, also there's another statement, Satyam Bruyat Vyam Bruyat. Speak the truth, the pleasant truth. Pleasant. Like, for example, you just don't go to your blind man and say, oh, you're blind. Right? It's true, but you know, why hurt him? Unnecessary. Yes.
If something's not a public issue, then maybe we shouldn't make things public. Mm. Prabhupada often didn't like have a devotee being criticized on a public level.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, that also reminds me, like, you see one leader of a movement, Sannyasi, had some spiritual problem, and it was broadcasted. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada was very upset. He said, now you embarrassed him so much that you are dragging him out of the movement. So, that's why I was saying, like, let's use our intelligence. Intelligence, compassion, these are the two very important factors about presenting what needs to be presented. Yes.
Maharaj, you have a very wonderful presentation. If somebody has like going outside, sometimes we are in the flight, sometimes going outside. So if he has a, like nature calling, you know, to go out for spiritual, then when he come back, then he has to take bath, shower, and also like clean the cloth. Eh?
Yeah.
Both.
Yes,
Maharaj, I heard that the Vaishnava etiquette, actually the principle of Vaishnava etiquette is to avoid the Vaishnava prab.
That's one aspect of it. I'll come to that. So as I said, like, in 1 or 2 hours, you can't give the whole packet. So, I'm just selecting something. And we'll have another session in the afternoon.
Sometimes, Maharaj, when we visit India on the flight, we order that Jain food, and we eat it by saying just 3 times, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Does that work?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, like, you see, Prabhupada was quite lenient. Prabhupada was not very strict. And Prabhupada was happy that devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness. And you see, just consider, when Prabhupada came to America, the young American boys and girls were attracted and accepted the process of Krishna consciousness. If Prabhupada was very rigid, then they would have, many of them would have become discouraged. So Prabhupada was very lenient. Like, even if somebody had some spiritual difficulty, Prabhupada encouraged him to carry on. That is how lineage of the Prabhupada was. And another thing is that just by being strict with our food, we cannot achieve spiritual perfection. The spiritual perfection will be achieved by developing a love for Krishna. And that is what Srila Prabhupada did. He taught us, he inspired us, and he guided us to develop love for Krishna. So yes, I mean, sometimes I heard, actually, I don't know whether it was a joke, like some Sankirtan devotees, they used to travel and, you know, and distribute books. So sometimes they would go to a, you know, grocery and offer the whole store. Offer the whole store to Krishna. And get what we needed.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Vaishnava means like pure spirit soul, like purity. So when somebody is like pure, he can go to spiritual world, non material developments. And so, what is the easy way actually to get a purity?
Process that Srila Prabhupada gave is so easy. Just chant the holy name of the Lord, following the 4 regulative principles. And abide by the teaching, follow the teaching of Sri Chaitanya. What can be easier than that? Just consider, in other ages, to achieve spiritual perfection, one had to leave home, go to the Himalayan mountain, or in the forest, sometimes go underwater, right, to practice the spiritual process. But for us, sthane sthitva shruti gatam tamabandham. Wherever you are, being situated there, just with your body, mind and words, serve Krishna. And the thing is that we may not be pure right away, but the process will purify us if we follow the process. Sometimes I heard that Prabhupada said that in ISKCON, everyone is a pure devotee. The devotees were quite shocked. proper, everyone in the pure devotee. Even the bhakta who joined yesterday, is he a pure devotee? Prabhupada said yes. It's only a matter of green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green now, but if it stays in the tree, then in course of time it will become ripe. So, ISKCON is the institution for manufacturing pure devotees. Right? ISKCON, and so just stay and practice. And the ultimate result will be manifest at the time of death. So our prayer should be that let us not only practice the process of Krishna consciousness all throughout our life, but let me die in ISKCON. Let me die in ISKCON. Because if I can die in ISKCON, the good devotees will create the good fortune for me. They will make all the arrangements that I can remember Krishna. The devotees will chant the holy name. And in this way, they will create the good fortune for me.
Thank you, Maharaj.
He was mentioning about the Goloka Vrindavan at abode of the Krishna. It is the two chamber at the two sides. One is Navadvip and one is Vrindavan. So my question is that where will be then Mathura or Dwarka? Is in that somewhere else? Or?
The whole, that region is Mathura.
Okay.
And Dwarka is on the outskirts.
Oh, the outskirts, the perimeter.
Between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. But Dwarka also is not exactly Braj, but this Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan is Krishna's abode. Yes?
Maharaj, it was so nice when you were explaining about, and I never really considered this, but Krishna's path, he ended his pastimes, but Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, they're going on.
Yeah.
And just a quick comment that it made me recall how when we went to the Siligori temple opening with my Guru Maharaj some years ago, Ganapati Maharaj was there, the king of Puri, the seminal descendant of Maharaj Prachapurudra, and he was speaking in Hindi, but someone was translating for me, and he said that Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON is the continuation of Lord Chaitanya's movement.
Yeah, very good.
And I just felt
so
much appreciation. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we'll conclude this session now. And next session is at 4:00.
Well, it's scheduled for 2:30. We can make it 3 to 5 if that's more convenient.
Okay. 3 to 5. Thank you.
John. Hare Krishna.